the light of the world. And so I'm going to begin my sermon today by giving you a little bit of the backstory on this scripture. Because any good story has a backstory. So if I said to you, my son Dante, who's sitting over there in that white hoodie, if I said to you, Dante has just been accepted into the NASA space program. Yeah, you would want to hear the backstory on that, right? I would want to tell it because I'm the parent. And so, let's say that Dante is now 23 years old. And he's been offered this amazing position at NASA. I want to tell this story. I want to tell how at 6 or 7 years old, he became interested in the stars and in the planets. And I'd want to tell how at a young age, during a pandemic, he took advantage of every opportunity that he could, that technology offered him to look at the stars. He would go, and this is true, Dante would go upstairs and he'd watch television and he'd tell me what was going on with the earth. And I'd want to tell you about how he got his first telescope and he went out in the backyard and he looked at the stars. And I want to tell you about how myself and all those that love Dante, I've been calling him Davon all week. I would want to tell you how we supported him and how we prepared the way for Dante to go to this NASA project. Now, I've just spoken and predestined his whole future. That's what we call hope, right? We speak things into existence. And I've just spoken his whole life into existence. So, what I'd like to do is tell you the backstory of this scripture that we read. And so the backstory is first, the life of John. John prepares the way for Jesus. So in the scripture, before we get to the scripture that we're talking about today, John comes on the scene. And he is a voice crying in the wilderness. And the good thing about it is people hear John. They hear his voice. And they come to where John is. John didn't have to go get them. They came to where John was. And they repented of their sins. And they were baptized. John's job was to prepare the way for Jesus. And John does just that. And when the Pharisees and the Sadducees hear of John, they come to see what is going on. And John doesn't cower in fear. He doesn't dim his light when he sees the Sadducees and the Pharisees out there watching him. What John does is he calls them out. He shines a light on them, and he lets all the followers know that they're there. And he calls them out by saying, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" And he tells him, he says, "The axe is at the root of the trees, And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So let's fast forward. Jesus is baptized. He is tested in the wilderness. And who of us has not been tested? Especially during our walk with Christ. Who of us has not been tested? John is imprisoned, and Jesus begins his teaching ministry. He goes to Galilee, which is the fulfillment of the scriptures. When Isaiah tells us, he says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And why is this important? Because Jesus is that light. And so we've just come through Advent, right? And we've anticipated, we're waiting, and we're still waiting. We waited for Jesus to come, and baby Jesus has come, and now we're waiting for the second coming. And so these prophecies are important. And so Jesus has come, he's been here with us, and he's been that light. He's brought that light into the world. And so that's why it's important, because Jesus is that light. That light has dawned, and that light is bright. Even in the midst of all that we're going through, that light is still bright. So Jesus is now preaching, and he knows his purpose. He's called his disciples. And just like every good preacher, Jesus had that one memorable sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And I think we all have that one memorable sermon that we preach. And Jesus's, again, is the Sermon on the Mount, where he tells us and he instructs us, his disciples, to not shine our light under a bushel. It's one of the versions that I read. It said, don't shine your light under a bushel. Let your light shine. So when we decide to walk with Jesus, I don't know about you, but for me, when I first decided to walk with Jesus, and somebody told me that Jesus would take my sins and cast them into a sea of forgetfulness, and that I didn't have to look at them anymore, that I can just walk forward and I can just shine my light out into the world, I was excited. I was happy, and I was full of zeal. I just ran around, and I just told everybody about this Jesus, and I was excited, and I didn't let my light hide under this bushel because I wanted everybody else to know that with this Jesus, there is freedom. With this Jesus, there is liberty. But how many of you know that from time to time, our light may dim a little bit, right? Our light may become just a little bit dim because there is so much going on around us. And as much as we let our light shine, there's always a little darkness pushing back against us, right? Little darkness pushing back against us. As we recover from this unprecedented pandemic, and our brother this morning reminded us that the darkness is still pushing against us when he said, pray for these mass shootings. And that was confirmation for me that this sermon was for this time, for this people. As we recover from this pandemic, as of 7:40 a.m., on January 24th of 2003, it was reported that 39 mass shootings had occurred just 24 days into the year of 2023 here in America. And so in a time when church attendance is low and civil unrest is high, we need to be the light. The implications of racial inequality in the United States is staggering. Despite the aim of the government, and this is from data that I've read, to advance inequality through economic growth and the inclusion of all people, many of our policies in areas such as access to labor, to the labor market, higher education, and housing, it has not benefited all Americans. Communities of color, rural communities, and other historically marginalized people have not benefited from our nation's prosperity. And our economics cannot benefit all people if all people are not privileged to these opportunities. And so this is one of the reasons why we at Ripple want to give people a permanent home to go to, because we have that opportunity to see some of these places in the city of Allentown, some of these situations. So as of January 24, 2003, the homeless population in America was reported to be over 500,000 people. These people are living in temporary shelters, transitional housing, they're couch surfing, or sleeping in places that are not meant for human habitation, like abandoned houses or tent cities. The top four causes of homelessness and lack of affordable housing, low wages, poverty, and unemployment. And that's the darkness pushing back against us. And I certainly didn't come here to bring anybody down today. I came to bring the light. But this is the reality of what's happening in this world. And that's why we need to be the light. Jesus came to be that light. And wherever Jesus was when he came, you knew he was there, because he was not hiding his light. Whether he was teaching, preaching, healing, there was always great excitement wherever Jesus was. So he wasn't hiding his light. His light was shining. Even when he hung on the cross, his light was shining. We knew he was there. And so wherever you may be in your community, let your light shine. Our light shines in the way that we show up in our communities. Whether we say hello to our neighbor when we walk past, whatever we do, let our light shine. Because your light is God's glory. And so we say we are the people of peace in this world. And we say that we are the people of light in this world. And so let your light shine so that others can see your good deeds or your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And one thing I'd like to share with you is our good deeds is not those works that we think that they are, that when we feed people or when we give people, those are not our works. Our works is when we show the love of Jesus Christ to all people. Our works are nothing if they don't come from the heart. I've seen a homeless individual refuse food because people know our hearts. They know when we're doing our works from our heart or just because you're there and I want you to leave me alone, take this food. No, let your light shine. Let the love of Christ shine in your heart as you travel through this earth, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. It is our light that draws men unto Christ. And so I'm here today to remind us to do a battery check. Has anybody done a battery check lately? How's your light shining? We check our phones every day, right? Anybody sitting here with a dead battery on their phone today? I know mine's is not. I checked it today. So let's do a battery check today. I have a light on my porch, right? And it's battery operated. And it's a string of lights. And I looked out there the other day and it was a bit dim. That means the battery is dying. And so it's a little dim. And so let's do a battery check. Let's check and make sure that our batteries are operating well, that our light is not being blocked out by the noise of the injustice all around this world. I'm going to invite you. I think that Jessica gave you all a candle this morning. I'm going to invite you to first do a battery check. I want to take you to invite you to just take a minute. Take a deep breath. How is your light shining in the world today? Has anything hardened your heart? As I mentioned earlier, there's been over. That was my data from when I was doing my sermon. There are over 39 mass murders that have, mass shootings that have occurred in our nation. Are we losing hope that we can make a difference in this world? We are the light of the world. I'm going to invite you. And I'm going to come down and I'm going to light the first light. Going to.